since, well, we'll say in the last 100 years or so. Now, I would like to discuss one more thing that could cause you some trouble. I hope it doesn't. That's the question of Antichrist. Now, there are two places where you could discuss the teaching about Antichrist. I'm not going to say the doctrine of Antichrist, because that terminology has caused a good bit of a problem in the Synod. You could discuss it here in connection with the ministry, or you could discuss it in connection with eschatology, the last things, because the coming of Antichrist is a sign of the last times in Holy Scripture. Now, where does the thing become a problem for Lutherans? In our confessions, Melanchthon says something and Luther says something. And who of the two would you expect made the strongest statement? That should not be Melanchthon. Melanchthon was oh so careful. And I'd like to read you what he says in the Apology. Thus the papacy also will be a part of the kingdom of Antichrist if it thus defends human services as justifying. You notice he doesn't say categorically that the Pope is the Antichrist. He says the papacy will be a part of the kingdom of Antichrist, not the whole business, and not for sure, but only if it thus defends human services as justifying. Notice how he relates the thing to justification by grace for Christ's sake through faith. If you teach justification by works, that is anti-Christian, and that's what was going on under the papacy at the time of the Reformation. Now, Luther gets on that subject in the Schmalkald Articles of the Papacy. And now, look at it. This teaching that the Pope is over the rest of the clergy shows forcefully that the Pope is the very Antichrist, who has exalted himself above and opposed himself against Christ, because he will not permit Christians to be saved without his power, which nevertheless is nothing, and is neither ordained nor commanded by God. That is, properly speaking, to exalt himself above all that is called God, as Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Quoted from the Schmalkald Articles, Article 4 of the Papacy. Well, Luther says it bluntly. Now, there are interesting questions here. Did anybody else among the churches that came out of the Reformation believe that the Pope was the Antichrist? Yes. There was an Irish confession that is no longer official, because the Irish Protestant Church has somehow got together with the Anglican or Episcopal Church and have accepted their confession. But the Irish confession that came up during the Reformation said bluntly that the Pope is the Antichrist. Now, of the confessions that are in force in Christendom today, the Lutheran confessions are the only ones that say it. But has anybody got the King James Version of the Bible here? Or has that been banished? Did you ever read that preface in front that speaks boldly of the Pope as the Antichrist? So that was generally accepted among Protestants, and today this gets rather soft peddled. Now, I'm not telling you what you should do, although I wouldn't do what one Lutheran pastor did maybe some 60 or 70 years ago. He always sent his church notes to the local paper. And so for Reformation Festival, he sent the theme that the Pope is the very Antichrist. And so the editor called him and said, if you want to make that a paid advertisement, I'll run it. Otherwise, I can't.
I don't know whether the preacher paid for it or not. I never heard that part of it. I only heard that the thing this far.
Well, the question is, what is the biblical evidence in this matter? And most certainly the scripture speaks of Antichrist, but I think if you'll examine the biblical material, you'll get a surprise or two. Let's find out where the term comes from. It comes from the epistles of John. Let me give you the verses if I can. 18 to 22. And I think 3 should have gone out. It should have been 4, verse 3. Second John, which is only one chapter, is verse 7. I think we better look at those. First John 2:18-22. Children, it is the last hour. Notice how Antichrist gets into the eschatology. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. That seems to have been the proclamation of the apostles, that Antichrist would come. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Now, all of a sudden, there's a whole raft of them, and they're there already. Now, what can this be? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be plain that they are not all of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and all know. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and know that no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Now what? Does that seem to fit the Pope? Was he there already? Hardly. Shane Ruddy?
Yeah, just as we're getting into this, just two quick points. First, those of us that hold to the fact that the papacy is the Antichrist, we'd say right away that we're not looking at one particular pope necessarily. Like, I would not write an article today that Paul VI is the Antichrist.
Nope.
But the argument is posthumous, the papacy itself, not just Pope himself. And then, secondly, I think that Peter deals with a very nice claim when he deals with the Antichrist. I don't know what the pages are in English. In German, it's around 528. And he takes it bit by bit and shows that Antichrist is used in two senses in Scripture.
Yes, I think that's the thing that has to be made. When that he is talking about here does not seem to fit the papacy. Now, Antichrist simply means against Christ. Can you be against Christ in only one way, or are there more ways in which one can be against him? There are surely more ways. And at that time, they had people who denied that Jesus is the Christ. And those were antichrists. They were enemies of Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Now, that does not fit the papacy. Where the papacy comes in, that is a different passage. But we want to wind up with John first. Lastman?
He is referring to false teachers here, though, within the Christian
fold. Oh, yes.
Because they went out from
Yes.
The Apostle John, and yet they didn't have the authority of John to speak what they were saying.
This is right. I don't know who those people were, but it was a denial of the incarnation, it seems, or of the messiahship of Christ. I have to get the rest of you first.
Yeah, and just in this context here, how does it differ from one who hears the word but just doesn't believe it?
One who hears the word of God and just doesn't believe it, now he doesn't even pretend to be a Christian, does he?
Well, these are Christians.
These may have been a kind of heretic who denied the messiahship of Jesus, but we don't have those people here. We don't know who and what they were exactly. Someone else over here had a hand up. Was it Beck? No?
I thought John might be, when he said this is Antichrist, he could also be, that could be a shortened form of saying it's of the spirit of Antichrist to such teaching, because he was denying some kind of teaching that was going out from, he said they went out from us, but we're not of us.
Would you mind thinking of what Melanchthon says, that the papacy is a piece of the kingdom of Antichrist? The kingdom of Antichrist is bigger than the papacy, right. Melanchthon said. And I think that Melanchthon was very careful about the use of the scripture passages. Let's go to 1 John 4. We ought to see all that John has to say. Verse 3. Every spirit which does not confess Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming and now is in the world already. That fits very well to what he said in verses 18 to 22. And now turn to 2 John verse 7 and see whether that adds anything. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, men who will not acknowledge the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Those that did not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He might have been referring to Docetists, who said that Jesus only appeared to be a man, but that he wasn't real. The whole thing wasn't real. Well, that would surely be a denial of the redemption. Well, this is one set of passages speaking of Antichrist, and it was all in the world already at that time. Now, the passage that the Lutherans referred to the Pope is 2 Thessalonians, and we better give that a good going over. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, let's see whether he is referring it to the same thing as St. John is, to the end of the world. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to be quickly shaken in mind or excited, either by spirit or by word. See that spirit there. Could that refer to some of the prophets that were running around at that time? I think if you refer it there, you will get along best with that passage. Diebel? Pardon? I am in verse 1 and 2 of 2 Thessalonians 2. He says, they should not be quickly shaken or in mind or excited, either by spirit or by word or by letter purporting to be from us. Some people must have written letters under the name of St. Paul, which Paul hadn't written, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. You know, there have always been people like that. Aren't there? Isn't there a group now that's sort of just immobilized itself and is waiting. We get them every once in a while because they decide at such and such a time the Lord is coming, and they quit working, and some sell their possessions and eat up the proceeds and so forth. And Paul says, don't let any of those fellows fool you. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship. Where is the name of Antichrist here? It's not there in the passage. Does St. Paul, however, seem to be speaking of the Antichrist? It has been so understood in the church from ancient time that Paul is speaking about Antichrist here, and when the church has really and truly understood it that way through the centuries, then we better not oppose our wisdom to the church and claim we know better. The term Antichrist isn't used, but he surely seems to be describing the Antichrist, and the church has so believed through the centuries. Well, there will come first a rebellion before Judgment Day. The man of lawlessness is revealed. The man of sin, he has also been called. But sin, you know, is lawlessness or transgression. And he is called the son of perdition. He goes to hell, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship. He puts himself above it all, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God. Where's the temple of God here on this earth? It's in the church. It is the church. So he takes his seat in the church, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, if that fits anybody, whom does it fit? Does it necessarily fit Pope Paul VI? Does it fit any of the popes? It fits some of them surprisingly well, so well that some of the Catholics realized it and pronounced the Pope the Antichrist. Well, think about these things, and tomorrow we must.
I'm going to get to there. I'm going to get to there. I Thank you.